You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
The American people. I love the internets, and that's why I created it. Especially for my favorite internet's talk radio show, Mornings with Steve and Vicky. Man, those two are... I'm sorry? Okay. With Sam and Andre. That was my mistake, right? Okay, guys. A little bit more entertainment, and let's get at it. God bless Texas. You're listening to Mornings with Sam and Andrea.
Sam and Andrea.
Exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
All right, good morning and welcome to the show. This is Mornings with Sam and Andrea.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. And how are you feeling this morning?
I feel great. I got a good night's sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's more than I can say. You're looking beautiful, by the way, this morning.
Thank you,
Sam. And you look well-rested and everything.
I feel well-rested.
Which is totally the opposite of what I'm feeling. I mean, I'm telling you, I was tempted to call you and tell you, let's cancel the show today. But then I remember there's people coming after us and I had to open the door and all that. So, but... I'm with 4 hours of sleep last night, and that's after a long day. It's simply because, you know, I get carried away with the work and everything, and then you have to pay some attention to the wife and that, and we started getting wild and that. So,
well, that's a good reason to have 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, but it leaves you tired, you know.
It does.
So,
I hate to be tired.
Yeah, so I went to sleep at 1 o'clock, got up at 5, and it's hard. It's really hard.
You know, do you get up at 5? What do you do at 5?
Because I have to prepare and program the station for the rest of the day. And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do. You know, there really is, you know. It's hard to understand what's going on behind the scenes and stuff, you know. But there's plenty to do, trust me. So, but I'm trying to sort of, like, cut it off, like, maybe at 9 and, and, you know, and sort of rest a little bit.
You have to.
I need time for myself as well as
you
for
do.
My wife, you know.
You do.
So, so that's a situation there. So I was like so friggin' tired. And you know, it's like really dangerous driving like this.
Oh,
because,
very.
I mean, I'm dozing off. And you know what? Every morning, Andrea, every morning, I'm just waiting for the second shoe to drop, you know.
Wow. Yeah, you have to start getting some rest. Do you just totally relax on the weekends or you work
all
weekend?
No, no.
Yeah.
I don't have much time to relax. But now I got some help, so I'm trying to spend some more time with the kids and stuff as well, you know. So, yeah, so the weekends have gotten better for
that's
me, definitely.
Good. Thank goodness. you have to power down.
Yeah.
You have to, just like the computer, you have to power down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get some rest.
There you go, yeah. So, anything new this morning?
Well, the Celtics won last night.
They did.
They did. They beat the Lakers at home, which, you know, is sad for L.A., but I just felt they wanted it more than we did. They really wanted it. I mean, they haven't won a championship in 22 years.
I know, and it seems like the Lakers win every year, pretty much.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I'm not really a Laker fan. I like them better now that they got rid of Shaquille O'Neal.
You really?
Yeah,
what?
I just you when you're like that it. Tall and you're that close to the basket and you can't hit a free throw, you should just kill yourself. I mean, really? Come on, put me on a step stool. I'll get it in. You know, just don't understand that. And I didn't like him. I just never.
No. So you don't consider him a good player?
No.
For the most part,
I mean,
really?
I think when you're that tall, you know what I mean? It's just like you have such an advantage over everybody else. I think Spud Webb is a great fucking basketball player. He's 5'6".
Really?
You know what I mean? When you're that little and Bibby and, you know, all those guys. I mean, when you're little and you're hitting, you know, 3 points and all that, then I give you credit. When you're that huge, you know what I mean?
I know. It comes easy for you.
It's like me putting it, there it is. You know what I mean? Putting it right in the basket, right above your head.
Yeah. I know. Well, I've never been that much into basketball, so I haven't watched any of it.
Mm-hmm. Is there a sport that you're into?
I used to be into football.
I'm so into football.
Are you really?
Oh, I'm crazy. I'm a weird girl.
Yeah,
I don't even want people to call me while the game's on.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just.
And what's your team?
Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They used to be my favorite, like, in the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Tony Dorsett. Yeah.
Roger Staubach. I mean,
Too Tall Jones.
That was a good team.
Yeah, it was
a great
team.
That was a great team, you know.
Yeah.
And,
they have a good team now. We just got Pac-Man Jones, and we have, you know, we have Terrell Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I don't know about our quarterback. I loved our quarterback, but I feel like, you know, he blew it the last game.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like football. It's just I haven't really had time to watch it and stuff. So are you into sports in general?
No, pretty much just football. I watch the pretty much the playoffs of anything.
Right,
you know, I'll watch the World Series. I'll watch the playoffs and basketball. But
right.
football I watch from day one.
Really?
Yeah, day one.
Wow.
Yeah. All the games.
Really?
Not just the Cowboys. Yeah,
wow.
Crazy on a Sunday. I love it. It's just
cool.
Very traditional for me.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. I used to do that. And then Monday Night Football I used to watch.
Oh, I love it.
Remember that was with do they still have that?
Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They do,
yeah.
huh?
They had Monday Night and Thursday Night for a little
while.
Right,
and now they had Sunday Night.
Yeah, yeah,
know,
they still have Sunday Night.
ESPN 5
p.m.
Something.
Yeah, 5 p.m. game. I love it. Three games a day. Oh,
I know,
great.
That's a lot.
It's great. Yeah, when football season is over, I go through a little depression.
Really?
Yeah, I get sad. It's like, oh, what are we going to do now?
I know.
Yeah.
You're not into baseball that much?
I can't. They play every day, and it's very boring to watch at home. If you go to a game, it's different.
But is it different?
I think so, popcorn and peanuts.
I know, it seems like a boring game to me. I don't know.
It is pretty boring, but when you're there and they hit a home run, it's exciting. But again, I'll watch the World Series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. And, I wanted to tell you, I've got a little surprise here for you. There was a guest on Johnny's show yesterday, Johnny Dam on the Damage Report.
Uh-huh.
And he brought some things in. So I want to show this to you. Now, you don't have to accept it, but it's called a mini multi-speed vibrating bullet.
I love it. Mine just broke.
Really?
Yeah, not the bullet. Okay. Look at this. Mini multi-speed vibrating bullet.
Right. So it looks kind of like an egg, like an elongated egg.
Right.
And it has an attachment with a cord, so it's not wireless. But I guess that's good, because isn't that supposed to be inserted?
I think so.
Yeah, you put it inside.
I don't know. I've never done this one.
You definitely want the wire.
I think I'll bring this to work tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
What's that, Andrea?
You don't even have to undress. You just put it between your legs. I mean,
that's the greatest thing.
Yeah, that's why it's
in
cool to be a woman, you know?
It is cool to be a woman. Because a man, it's a lot more. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You
so you're going to use it?
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Mine broke.
Okay. Really?
I broke mine.
Oh, you have one like that?
I didn't have one like this, but I had a vibrator and it broke.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How does a vibrator break? I guess you've
overused it. I stopped overused it. And I've had it really for like 10 years.
Really?
I've had it for a really long time, so it must have been a good model.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I couldn't complain.
It lasted a while.
10 years, I was like, wow, this is longer than any relationship I've ever been in. It was sort of sad when I threw it away. I was like, should I have a burial or just toss it? I don't know, I was very attached to it. We had a lot of good memories together.
I'm sure.
I was watching, as I was throwing it away, I was playing the montage in my head of all the good memories and times, and I said au revoir.
Yeah.
Sad. It was a little sad.
Yeah, so that one is courtesy of what? Sextoy.com, I
suppose. Sextoy.com, and it says that you open to win 10 free minutes to watch porn. You don't really need more than 10 minutes of porn, do you?
No, you don't.
How much
really.
Porn can you watch?
I mean, how long does it take you to get off? That's
right.
pretty much it.
Right.
So that's why they have those movies now where you pay per minute.
Right.
And things like that.
Right.
So you figure, let's just get into the action.
That could be the pressure, though. It's like, there's another $2.99. Come on. Two minutes. I know.
Let's hurry up,
Yeah.
And it's funny because their slogan, they used to have advertising on the radio, and they would say, get in, get off, get out.
Nice.
Yeah,
I like that
there
slogan.
You go.
Better than just do it.
It describes it.
Get in, get off, get out. I like it.
Yeah. So, I was never into vibrators and toys and, kind of like felt weird bringing them into the bed and stuff. But, I guess you gotta try sometimes.
And how long have you been married?
4 years.
Yeah, you got to do things to spice it up, I think, too.
Well, we don't really need to spice it up. Seriously.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we always have a blast. As it is.
Good.
But I did get something at the show and we tried that. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it looks like an electric toothbrush. It doesn't even look like a vibrator.
Oh.
So it's got a little tip just for the right place.
Right.
For the love button.
Right.
And it's very good.
Uh-huh.
It's very good.
And then you brush your teeth.
The response.
Multi-purpose.
Yeah, or besides your gums.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Gum health is very important.
But it's funny because you, and it's waterproof also, so you can use it underwater and stuff. So, I mean, the stuff they're thinking about, you know.
I don't know when that would come in handy, but yeah.
Well, in the bathtub, you know.
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah, oh, yeah, in the bathtub, yeah. Or go swimming. See, I just like to relax in the bath.
Yeah, go swimming.
I don't want to be bothered. Yeah, go swimming. But can I swim with my magic bullet? I don't think I can.
No, I don't think so.
No.
You pretty much have to be in bed and yeah, embracing
should not,
that.
Should not be using... do not use while bathing or in the shower.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, since it's internal, I wonder if you still need, like, the external stimulation to get off, you know?
I don't know. I'll come back with a full report tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you hear about R. Kelly? Do you know about this?
Well, I don't know the whole story, so tell me about it.
Well, you know, there was a sex tape of him having sex with this girl that was, I guess, supposed to be like 13 or 14.
And there was a tape of it?
There was a tape of it, videotape of it. And he said all along, it's not me.
Really?
It's not me. It's not me. It's not me. And and he got off.
Really?
6 years it went on for.
Wow.
Yeah. And they found him not guilty.
Wow.
This is now every man in America is back to that. It wasn't me.
Yeah.
It wasn't me.
I know. Yeah. And still, with the video, they couldn't prove it was him.
Well, you know, it was hard to see. You know, it was hard to really tell. It looked like him.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can download it on the web.
Wow.
Yeah, you can see
it. Is it pretty explicit?
Yeah. I mean, it was 6 years ago when I saw it, so I don't really remember. But I think they still have it on
there. It's been that long, huh?
Yeah, it was 6 years he was being tried for. Wow. You know, trials take such a long time.
I know, and I wonder why. You know, I mean, get it over with already. Yeah. You know, it's like 6 years is way too ridiculous. I can understand a couple months maybe, you know, or maybe a year even, you know, because you have to go and find evidence and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 years?
It's a long time.
What the fuck is wrong with their system?
It's funny. The most interesting thing to do, I was just recently in, a friend of mine had to go to court, and I went and watched, you know, you have to sit there and watch everybody else go through.
Right.
And it's just funny what people try to get away with.
Really?
You know what I mean? Yeah, I sort of like the judicial system because it's where all the bullshit goes out the window. All that shit. There was this little elderly Mexican woman, and she was trying, you know, she had the translator, and she, you know, she kept saying, you know, I'm sorry, and he goes, look, I don't care, pay the fine or go to jail, you know. And it was just like, she had all these excuses, you know, I babysit children, I can't be here, and again, he's pay the fine or go to jail, you know. And you really thought, wow, this woman really doesn't have the money. But the judge, I guess, has dealt with so many people lying that he sees right through it. And then she was, okay, I'll pay the fine. It's like, she did have the money, she just didn't want to pay it.
Yeah.
Thought she could get off, you
know? People try to get away with shit.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. And then there was another woman who, I guess they got arrested for pot, and he had the pot, and she had some, and so he right away went up, and he was, like, guilty, and he gave him a sentence, and it wasn't that bad, and he, you know, got off. But then she tried to say, I'm not sure what to plead. He goes, sit down. He made her wait till the end, and then, of course, she was like, I'm guilty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand them still prosecuting people for pot, you know. I mean, that is so ridiculous, especially since, you know, I mean, you can get it legally now.
Yeah,
in
medical,
California.
Medical marijuana.
Yeah, and it's really easy to get
a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, it's easy to get a prescription. So we all know it's bullshit, but it works. I mean, it doesn't, you know, so much there hasn't been any damage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not hurting anybody. So maybe the whole world will learn from that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've never been, you know, I don't do it, so I don't know.
Yeah, you've never been into pot?
Yeah, years ago, you know, like when I was in a band, you know, I had a period of time. But then it was just like, the thing that I realized that my friends that did it just never went anywhere.
Really?
Never went anywhere. They're,
it takes away your motivation.
Totally.
Huh?
Potheads love to talk about what they're going to do. Yeah. You know, I call it the pothead preamble. First they tell you, it's all natural, it comes from the earth, it's not hurting anybody, blah, blah, blah. And then they talk about how it's... you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and we're going to invent a cotton candy factory. And, you know, and then, you know, you talk to them a month later, you go, how's the cotton candy factory? What? The cotton candy factory you're going to do. Huh? Oh, never mind. Yeah. I don't even remember. Oh, yeah. No, you know, it was too much litigation. I'm doing something else now. They just don't do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess that's a stereotype, though. You know, I'm sure.
Do you know people that smoke pot that get up and interrupt before noon and doing stuff? Really?
Oh yeah. It depends who you are. You know, I mean, and
I guess it happens. I guess it's, but to me, it's rare. Most of the potheads I know are not up before noon.
No.
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm, not up before noon.
Wow. How can people sleep in that late? You know, I mean, to me, it's like half the day is over. If I if I sleep until 9, I'm depressed.
Really?
You know, I got to see the early morning. You know?
I like that, too. I like the morning. And I never used to, but that changed for me.
Really?
Yeah. I used to hate getting up in the mornings. But I was a singer, so I worked at night.
Yeah.
So I had to be up, you know, late at night. So then to get up early in the morning was like, forget it. I had the blackout shades and the things that went over my eyes, and I just tried to sleep as much as I could.
Yeah.
Now it's different. I love the morning.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really nice. I mean, I like it because everything's clean. You know, you're starting fresh. It's like a rebirth of the of the day, you know.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. I mean, I've always been like that. I'm not a night person, you know.
Right.
But
what time do you go to bed? I mean,
well, I told you
now, forget
midnight,
it.
Midnight, yeah.
But ideally,
usually it would be like 11. Yeah, I can't sleep before 11. But yeah, if you know what I realize, it doesn't matter really what time you go to bed. It depends. It matters what time you get up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I found.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even if I have 4 hours of sleep, but I'll get up at 8 or something, it would be easier than if I go to sleep at 10 and get up at 5.
Mm.
You know? That's what I found. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But so you used to be a singer. Are you still a singer?
Mm-hmm. I do, but I don't sing anywhere. You know, I just sing in the shower. I sing karaoke.
Yeah, karaoke is fun, huh?
Oh, so much fun. Yeah.
Do you have any songs of yours recorded?
I do somewhere, yeah. I have some stuff.
Somewhere?
Old, yeah.
You got to put it on your MySpace.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Why?
I don't know. Yeah, I would like to do that again. I miss singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, singing was different than acting. It was just more... I don't know, it was more fun. It was more pure of an art form, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like comedy, too.
Yeah. I love singing. I used to sing since I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, played guitar and stuff. And,
oh, wow.
And I still do. And in fact, a couple months ago, I played one of my songs on the radio here.
So you record it?
Yeah, I recorded it and everything, but it's in Hebrew, so I don't play it much.
Everyone, people, sing along.
Yeah,
no,
people
no
won't
one?
Be able to relate
yeah.
to it. But it was a couple songs I wrote when I was like 16, 17.
Wow.
So I always wanted to record them professionally and stuff. So
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, I did that, and it was really nice. You know,
that's
it's really cool. Yeah, so... But maybe you can find some of your songs.
Yeah.
And bring them. I'm really curious.
Yeah, I'll bring them in.
So you used to be in a band, like a rock band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a top 40
band. And you were the lead singer?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many people were in the band?
Well, different times it was different amounts. You know, we had a 5-piece band for a while, and then for a little bit I sang with an all-black band. There was like 11 of us.
That's right. You said that.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be seen with you in Montana.
Not in Montana. Couldn't believe it. I got up. I was like, let's, because that was a fun thing for me about being on the road was a new city and you could go explore.
Yeah,
and so with my other band, you know, we would get up and we'd go. We went hiking in Wyoming and we went all over. And so now I'm on the road with this all black band. I knock on the door and I'm like, let's go to breakfast. And they're like, we're going to breakfast. And I'm like, well, let's
not with you.
Like, not with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's weird, huh? I mean, how long ago was this? This must have been a while, right?
Probably like 18 years ago.
Oh, wow.
18 years ago, yeah.
Things were different then.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'd never been to Montana before that.
Yeah. Wow. How did you guys end up in Montana? Were you from... You were originally from New Jersey,
No,
right?
We were in Vegas.
Oh, you were in Vegas at the time.
I was living
That's
in Vegas,
right.
And we were playing in Vegas, and then, you know, it just got a... I don't know what happened. Something happened with our booking agent. And so he was like, well, do you guys want to go on the road? This band dropped out and it was really good money. And we said, yeah, why not? We'll go.
Yeah.
We'll drive up to Montana. And we went up there and got all of us in a van, you know, two vans. It was hard. I mean, at some point I just, because there was a guy that was driving too. And I just got out of the van and I go, I'm going in the car. I'm not going in the van. Cannot stand the smell. And I don't want to talk to any of you. So we got up there and it was fun. It was a fun gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So you guys went all over the country or?
We just did that. The other band that I had, we went all over the country. Went to Minnesota and Missouri and Illinois.
Wow.
Little places, like Poplar Bluff, Missouri.
Poplar Bluff?
Yeah, it wasn't popular at all. It was like
Whoa.
20 people. And and it was crazy because it was a very hard rock kind of a club.
Yeah.
It was called the Waikiki, and it was a very hard rock club. And we were not hard rock. This 5-piece band that I played with, we were, you know, Vegas lounge, you know.
So you're doing covers of top 40
stuff? Covers. And so, you know, we had like our openers were like dinner sets. We'd do like a little Manchester, you know, soft, you know.
Yeah.
And we're in this Waikiki, you know, with these hard rockers. Everyone looked like ZZ Top with the long beards. And the band was like, what do we do? I go, I don't know. We just do what we do, you know. And it was funny. The first night, first couple of nights, they all looked at us like, what the fuck, you know. And then I had this, these big bikers coming up to me, you know. One guy brought me a rose. He goes, I like it when you sing that song about the rain. Sing that song about, you know, it was this real, like, really? Lengthy ballad about, you know, coming from the rain. But yeah, they came around, and then we just, you know, threw in some,
really,
we learned some Led Zeppelin real fast and played some.
So why would the venue even invite you to perform
there? I don't know, it was weird. He wanted to go a different direction, but his crowd was very, you know, he wanted to, he started serving dinner before the club opened up, but it was weird. It was just, really? It didn't fit at all. But
yeah,
he was a cool club owner though.
Loved us. The Midwest, you know, they're very different from us.
It's strange. And then we played in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and that was really fun. You ever been to Jackson Hole?
No.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I
haven't been to Wyoming at all.
Oh, beautiful.
Is it really?
Yeah. And I didn't know what to expect, you know, but it was, it's a resort town. It's like a ski resort town.
Oh.
Gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah, and a lot of fun. And we performed there, and then they loved us so much, they had us come back. So then there was this big poster, you know, backed by popular demand.
Wow.
And there was a line around the block.
Really?
People to come in and see us.
That must have felt nice, huh?
It was crazy, yeah.
It really is
like,
nice.
Wow, you know?
Yeah. Have you been to many states in the
country? I've been to a lot of them, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because we drove. So we drove cross-country.
Nice.
So been to Illinois. We went to Quincy, Illinois, Poplar Bluff, Missouri, you know, through the Dakotas, been to Florida, Alabama, Tennessee.
Yeah, so you've been around, huh?
Yeah, pretty much. There's very few states I haven't been to.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. It's nice to travel. Do you go overseas sometimes?
Never been out of the country.
Are you serious?
Never, no.
Wow.
No.
How about Canada?
No.
No?
No. Or Mexico. Never been to Mexico.
Yeah. Well, you're not missing much on that one.
I feel like they're all here.
Yeah, there you go. They brought it to us. This is northern Mexico, like TJ says.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you can get great Mexican food, you know. You're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to go like to Cabo.
Cabo is supposed to be pretty nice.
Cancun, and I've never been to any of those places.
Yeah.
I was in Puerto Rico, but I was like 9 months old, so I don't remember.
Yeah. But you see, I figure if I go to a tropical place, mm-hmm. I'm going to go to Hawaii or something.
Yeah.
Or Tahiti or the Caribbean, you know. I mean, I've been to these places.
Aruba.
And that's exactly,
Jamaica.
You know. Mexico doesn't appeal to me. I don't know.
I hear it's beautiful, though.
Yeah.
I hear there's parts of it that are just gorgeous. Rosarita Beach, I hear, is really pretty.
That's what they say.
So you've obviously been out.
I've been all over the place.
Right.
Yeah, I lived in South Africa for a year.
Wow, what was that like?
That was amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, it was funny because at the time when I was enjoying living here, a lot of people were just fleeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the violence there. The violence is very, very bad. And apparently, I was there 10 years ago, so apparently it's gotten even worse.
Mm.
You know, where people hijack you when you stop at the stoplight and shit. Or people waiting for you when you pull up to your house. You see, almost all the houses in Johannesburg
mm-hmm.
Have electric fences around them.
Really?
High walls and electric fences.
Because of violence?
Yes. People will break in. People do anything. And so what they do, these criminals, is they'll wait. They'll hide in the bushes, wait till you get home. You go into the garage with your car, and they'll go into the garage and ambush you right there.
Wow.
Yeah, and they'll like take you inside, tie you up, have you lead them to the safe and all that shit.
Why is it? People have a lot of money there?
Many people do, the white people, and you have the black people full of resentment still and everything.
Wow.
And it's rampant.
Wow.
It's rampant.
See, and we think we have such a crime problem here.
Yeah.
You know?
It was really weird coming back here.
Serious.
Yeah, and
you
seeing front
safe,
yards.
Right?
Front yards with no walls. You
felt safe, right?
Yeah.
You felt safer here.
But, you know, I never really worried about my safety there. I was on my own. I didn't have my kids or anything or a wife.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't worry that much about myself, you know. And I just really needed a break. So it was like a perfect change for me.
Mm.
But the people that live there, forget about it, man. They're just like, you know, they flee to Canada, to Australia, New Zealand, these kind of places, you know. But South Africans are some of the nicest people I've ever met. And
why
it's
were
a
you
beautiful
there? Why
country.
Did you go?
I sort of like, you know, I went through a divorce here and it was very hard for me. So so people suggested, why don't you move away, sort of like clear your head and you know, find yourself again and so forth, you know, because it was very hard for me to have the kids sort of like, you know, being apart from me and going to live with their mom and stuff.
Yeah.
I really couldn't deal with it.
Right.
So I moved away. I lived in Israel for a year, and then I moved to South Africa for a year because I felt I wasn't really ready to come back to L.A. I had too many negative memories here.
So you were married before this marriage?
Yes. Okay. Yes, that's where I have my kids from.
And these kids are from, okay, yeah, I from see. And now they live with your new wife?
No, they live with their mom still.
They do, okay. Yeah.
We always figured it's probably better for them to live there, although I never quite agreed with it because I wanted them with me.
Right.
But for the most part, I think they're better off with their mom.
I think so.
And especially when we kept a good relationship, so we never really got the kids in between our fights and all that.
Gotcha. And so now you live with your new wife.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, yeah, and it's very nice. And now my ex-wife is getting ready to get married, too. So it's one less thing to worry about.
And so now how do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it. Yeah. I'm so, like, over her a long time ago.
Yeah. Once you're over it, then it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have for a long time. I mean, we got divorced in 94, but then we got back together and lived for 3 years.
Reunited.
Yeah. See, when I came back from South Africa, I sort of like, I guess, missed the family concept and all that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to live with my kids again. So we tried it again, you know, in 3 years. But
and then the issues come back up.
Yeah.
It's hard to get back together once you're divorced, once you go through all that and the divorce and everything.
Yeah, but it was amazing. Many people couldn't believe it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good for a while.
Yeah.
It really was, you know. We got a nice house with a pool and a deck, and you know it was, yeah. So we played house again.
She still has that house?
No, we rented that one.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so, but now she's moving in with her fiance and stuff. So, and my daughter's going away to college, so it's only my son.
They're grown up now. Yeah. And what is what kind of work does he do?
He does bindery, I think.
Bindery.
Yeah,
things like that.
Yeah, that's what he has on his license plate. So. I suppose I don't. Yeah, I don't ask him that much.
Yeah,
the kids into that. But the nice thing is we get together. Like oh, by the way, today is my son's birthday.
Aww.
Happy birthday, Sean!
Happy birthday, Sean.
Called him early in the morning to wish him happy birthday.
How old is he today?
He's 15.
15.
Yeah, get a little closer to the mic.
Sure.
Here, you can pull it back like this.
And
yeah, you can be there. So,
are you taking him to a strip club?
I wanted to, but he's still too young.
Yeah, 15.
Yeah, so I give him access to nudity. In other ways, like I buy him a Playboy every once in a while.
That's nice, father.
Yeah, he loves it. You know, he loves it. We're like friends, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell him everything I know about sex and stuff, you know. And he's just like.
And then he tells you everything he knows.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so now he comes to me with all his questions and stuff, you know. And when his sister is around, forget about it. You guys stop. I don't want to hear about this, you know. And so it's funny that way with girls.
That's funny, yeah. Yeah, my daughter's the same way. She doesn't want to hear about anything.
Really?
You know? Yeah, even she'll see what I'm wearing and she'll come over and button it up. What are you doing?
Yeah, and you tend to wear cleavage and stuff, right?
Yeah, I do. I don't.
You're proud of your.
I don't have a problem with it.
Rack,
if you got it, flaunt it.
That's true. That's true. But I mean, in your pictures, it occurred to me that you're really proud of them.
Yes, I'm very proud of them.
Very proud of them, right?
Yeah.
And they're real, of course, and stuff.
Yeah.
You see, I can bring myself to look at them.
Yeah.
You're looking at me, but I steal glances and stuff.
They're hard to miss. So.
Yeah.
They're hard to miss.
But yesterday, I noticed you came like totally like buttoned up and everything. You know?
Was I yesterday?
Yeah, you had a t-shirt all the way to your neck.
Oh, yeah.
And you had like a sports bra or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A sport bra.
Yeah.
And I thought, why are you doing that to your boobies, you know? I mean, you're squashing them completely.
No, they're more comfortable in that.
Really?
Yeah, regular bras suck. They're the worst.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, it's just
But then you can't get a good view. I mean, they squash the breasts.
Yeah?
Those bras. Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I don't like them at all.
Yeah,
no.
When have you worn them?
When men... Nice. but no, I mean, they're not as pronounced, you know? So, I mean, but if you... I mean, obviously... That's like a point of attention when you talk to people. I mean, do you see this often where men will like talk down to your chest?
Mm-hmm.
They do that.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah. See, it's hard for me to
not,
do that.
Not so much. Not. I mean, not to where it's like that. You know. But in high school,
but they
it
glance.
Was.
You know. Yeah. And the thing is, you have to understand, it's not a conscious thing that we do. You know. I mean, suddenly I catch myself looking at an ass in the elevator or something, and it's
like what am I
not
doing?
Even a woman that's attractive or anything.
Right.
It's just that my eyes automatically go there.
Huh.
You know, so
I think it's the way we're programmed.
Yeah,
men especially,
probably.
Yeah.
And you know, and this fascination with boobs, I think women have that too. in a way.
Oh,
because
yeah.
that's the first thing we see is shoved in our face, uh-huh. you know, and when we come into this world. So it's not strange, you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
I heard
one theory that says that boobs, you know, when you look at them, they look uh-huh. like an ass.
Uh-huh.
And maybe that's why men are attracted to it. But I don't see that.
Well,
I mean,
think gay men are more attracted to ass than straight men, aren't they?
Who? Gay men?
Gay men.
Oh.
They're all about the ass.
Yeah, I suppose. Although, I don't know if that's true for all of them. You know, some of them will say, no, I'll never take it in the ass. You know?
Yeah, some are catchers and some are receivers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and some maybe don't mess with it at all. They just, right. I guess, stay with oral sex and stuff.
Mm.
You know, I don't know how many of those. But yeah, I mean.
We should have asked our guests
yesterday.
I don't
know. The ass is not an attractive part of the body for me.
No.
I've never been attracted to it. No.
No.
No. I'm kind of like disgusted with the whole shitting thing and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I guess if you think about it that way.
Yeah, I do think about it that way.
Yeah, you're like, hot ass. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I like to look at an ass, you know, and mm-hmm. stuff, but when it starts like getting in there and stuff,
yeah.
Nah, I'm not into that at all.
Yeah.
The whole nether area is not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? I mean, you're quiet about this. Are you guilty?
No. Yeah. I don't. I was trying to think how I feel about. I think it's more of a man thing. I don't think women think about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Some women are really into it.
Really?
Yeah.
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 No.
You don't know women like that?
I don't know. We don't talk about that.
You don't
stuff.
Talk
no,
about that?
No.
Well, maybe you have some very prude friends. You know?
No. I have very open friends, but I just don't. I don't. I guess it never came up in conversations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think men talk more about sex than women do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I was listening to Broad Topics last night. We have four women that have a show.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking a lot about sex. Let
really?
Me tell you. Yeah.
What were they saying?
I don't remember. Because I didn't listen to all of it.
Right.
But every time I tune in, they're like talking about something. You know?
Yeah, my girlfriends, we talk about whether it's good or not good.
Yeah.
That's as far as it
but
goes.
But you don't get into details and stuff.
No,
right?
No.
Wow, that's interesting.
Not graphic details.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, men, I don't know that men get into graphic details. You
yeah.
know? But, you know, I mean... Yeah, I don't know that I talk about sex that much with
uh-huh.
guys. Definitely not about my own sex life.
Right.
You know? But you talk about women,
yeah.
you know, in general or sex in general.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, we don't talk about personal things
no.
either.
No, know? I don't. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I also don't. I think when people are in relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just sort of like, you know.
Yeah, you don't share it with anybody.
Yeah, yeah, it's different. Yeah. When they're single and they're dating, you know.
Yeah. But you can talk about things you like and stuff, you know.
Yeah, my girlfriends talk more about who's hot, who, you know,
yeah.
this guy's so cute and, you know, what he said.
Yeah.
He said this and then I said that and then
yeah.
he said that. What does that mean? He said that.
So you're saying
that
Sex in the City is not realistic as far as what women talk about and stuff, or is
I
it?
wasn't a big fan, so
no, huh?
I didn't really watch it, so
wow.
I don't know. I mean, I saw some episodes and I thought it was a little over the top.
Yeah
I
never watched it, but my wife dragged me to the movie the other
oh,
day.
God,
and
how was it?
90% women in
I heard
line.
It was terrible.
It is, you know, I mean, women love it,
mm.
but for a man, I mean, you know, it's just like I felt like such a pussy going there, you know.
Yeah,
but I did it for her, you know.
It was and, sweet.
Yeah,
was nice.
I suppose, you know.
Yeah,
and with all these action movies that we go to, I guess she deserves this every once in a while. But I told her, I said, why would you want me to go there? I
yeah.
fell asleep. Take a friend.
Yeah,
take
somebody. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
and go. And
why did she want you to see it?
Because she wanted to go with me, I
yeah.
suppose. Yeah.
yeah.
My wife happens to love me very much.
That's sweet.
And it goes the other way.
No, but
way
I agree
too.
With you. I think that kind of a movie is a chick flick. You go with your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I heard that some people were, they had this event at Arclight where people were going and they were having Cosmopolitans and, you know, it was
really?
A big $60 to see the movie. And I thought, oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't get into that.
Don't get into that.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a lot of girlfriends. I spend a little bit of time with them, but all they want to talk about is boys, and it gets
yeah,
boring.
Yeah.
yeah. Men talk about more variety of topics,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so even now, I mean, they still talk about, like, guys and boys and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. It's all just about this guy and
no,
that guy.
No serious talk ever and stuff
not
like that?
Not really.
Really?
Not most of them.
Yeah.
I have dumb friends, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
I hang out with a lot of... Most of my friends are male comics.
Really?
You know?
Yeah.
They're,
that you meet
funny.
when you perform and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that I've known because I worked at the Laugh Factory, so I know them from work, and then I know them, you know, just from the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not all. I mean, some comics I hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, some of them are just annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely. A group
I know.
Of them
you know
that,
what
oh.
I know. I noticed that when I went to when we went to a show one time at the Haha Cafe, there was this obnoxious guy there. He was actually doing, he was hosting the show, and he was not funny at all, and he tried really hard. And he seemed like he wasn't new either at this.
No.
You know, he's been doing this for a while. And I just thought, you know, just get off the fucking stage already. Yeah. You know, you're not funny.
Yeah.
And he could tell nobody was laughing at his jokes.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, some of them are obnoxious.
Yeah, well, that's always amazing to me when people get into comedy and they're not funny. If you're not even the funny one in your friends,
yeah,
don't be a comic. Don't. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, if you've never made anybody laugh in life, yeah, why do you think it's going to be different on stage?
I know. And there's a lot of people like that.
I think it's just like people that call themselves actors. They just, they don't really have anything they're doing in their lives. So they're like, I'll be a comic because it doesn't really require you to go to work.
Exactly.
You know? But if you're a good comic, it requires a lot of work. You know, writing jokes and getting on stage and touring.
No, absolutely. And the delivery is, I think, the most important thing is the delivery. And many people are just not polished enough.
Yeah, I really don't think it's something you can learn. I think you can get better. You can definitely get better. But if you have nothing,
yeah,
I don't know.
Really?
Because you got to have material. Yeah, you got to be able to write.
You really do. And you know, I think that night when we were at the Haha Cafe, they also were like testing jokes on us, you know, and that's why it was like flat, you know?
Yeah, but, you know, even still, again, a great comic can take, you know, material that's new and still, there's still something there. You see the beginning of the joke. I remember a friend of mine, I watched, you know, now the bit that he does is very polished, but I saw it when it was still on paper, you know what I mean? And and it was still funny. It was still a funny concept. You saw where it was going to go, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It wasn't polished necessarily, but I've done that. I've read things off of cards and gotten laughs, you know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you try stuff and some stuff works and some stuff doesn't, but if you don't know as a comic, like, this is going to be funny.
Right.
You know, I also think, too, some comics try to just be dirty. They think, oh, that's, you know, and it's like, dirty's good if it's funny. If
exactly.
It's not, then it's
not
just,
if it's just gratuitious.
Then it's just,
and,
right,
you know,
gross.
And it's not funny, you know. But sometimes profanity is very funny, you know. Because jokes often is just about the word that you use, you know. Like there's a one funny word there that you use, and, you know, that creates the laughter. So sometimes if you put like a the F word before that, then it's cool.
For emphasis, yeah.
Yeah.
For emphasis. Yeah. But, well, it's true. It's, I think that's sometimes the best word before, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I see when you try to, I've tried to clean up certain jokes that I do, and it's like, oh.
It's not the same, huh?
Yeah, I mean, there's also a belief system that if the joke is really funny, it stands alone. I mean, there are some great, clean comics, really clean and really funny.
Yeah.
But they're very smart. That's the common denominator, I think, in great comics, is that they're very smart. They might not be book smart. They might not have even graduated high school, but they're just really smart, the way the way that their mind works, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get, you know, some people that you think.
Yeah. Who's your favorite comic of all time or like currently? Is there anybody that you really like?
Oh, God, I like so many people.
Chris Rock?
Nick Swardson. I like Chris Rock. He's not my favorite.
No? I think he's one of the funniest around.
He's funny.
He's really hilarious.
He's funny. I think there's more unknown, not unknown, but comics that don't have the notoriety that Chris Rock has that I think are really funny. Bill Burr is really funny. Tom Papa. Dov Davidoff, Ian Edwards. I mean, there's comics, you know, my friend Adam Hunter. So there's a lot of comics that I think are really funny that you don't necessarily know their names, but they're really funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll look for something during the break. You know, maybe you can give me like a name of someone and we'll listen to something because I love listening to comics.
Yeah.
I always play like George Carlin and Chris Rock and stuff like that, but I'm always curious to find new ones.
Yeah, I'll give you some new ones.
Yeah?
I'll give you some funny ones, yeah.
Cool. All right, well, let's take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Internet's biggest pervert.
Internet's biggest pervert.
And his new co-host toy. It's Mornings with Sam and Andrea.
Sam and Andrea.
Exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Every time you wanna move. Lines are open on Mornings with Sam and Andrea. Call 818-602-4498 to get on the air. Call now. It's LA Talk Radio.
Okay, and we're back. Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to Sam and Andrea.
We're back.
This is our second show.
Yeah, number
did you have
two.
Fun yesterday?
I did. Those guys were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Psychic Dave and Eddie.
I know. And especially when they say good things that good things are in store for us, you know.
I know. That was good. Did you pay them for that?
No, I didn't. But,
that came
but
free?
In fact, you know, I don't know what it is, but lately I've just been getting a lot of people wanting to host spiritual shows. And, you know, I don't really get into that. You know, I want stuff that's entertaining. So they promised the two guys from yesterday, Eddie and Dave, that they would make it entertaining. So that's
I think
cool.
They will. I don't think their show is going to be boring at all.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they're very lively.
Yeah. But so I think I talked to, including him, probably three or four people that claim they're, like he said, intuitive or mediums or psychics. And uh-huh. Each one told me, I'm seeing really big things for you in the station.
Now, do you sign on to that?
You see, you start asking yourself, you know, maybe if they're all saying this, maybe there's something to it. But at the same time, perhaps that's what they're in business for, is to make you feel good.
Well, also, you think about them coming here, you know, and you know, my father always said, you know, when you go to see a psychic, they tell you positive things.
Yes.
You know, no one's going to say, you know, after you give them $40, you know what? Things aren't going to go well for you this year.
Yeah.
You know, life's going to be shitty.
I think so. I think that's what
because it's what we want to hear.
Yeah.
Now, they believe that if we think positive things, then positive things happen.
Right.
Do you believe
and
that?
Maybe it's true. You know what I do? I do believe in it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and,
well, then you are more spiritual than you think.
No, I am. Yeah. I am. In fact, I went through a spiritual transformation.
You did. What was that about?
That's what when I was back in Israel.
Oh.
So that was, let's see, that was about 12 years ago.
Right.
And I studied the Kabbalah for like a whole year and stuff, you know, which Jewish mysticism and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it made me very, very spiritual. And it was that was a low point in my life when mm-hmm. I moved away because I couldn't deal with the divorce and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really low. And that's so I was like ready to absorb all this stuff like a sponge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it really changed my life, you know. It made me look at things differently. And
was
so
it
forth.
Judaism? Was that the main?
Well, that's yeah. I mean, but it wasn't about that. It wasn't about just doing the rituals blindly. It's about
right.
understanding why things are happening, and they would tie the cosmos and science and all that stuff together. So mm-hmm. they sort of like. Are catering to our generation, you know, where we can understand and relate to these things better.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I find that too. Even in Christianity, they're starting to use more of the positive thinking stuff,
yeah.
you know, and tying that in. And that never was the way that
yeah,
it was.
No. And that's one of my favorite sketches that George Carlin does about religion. Have you ever heard that one?
Yes.
Yeah. Where he says, you know, a God that's going to send you to hell and this and this and this and this, but he loves you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that too about something about, you know, Jesus is trying to protect us from a God who needs anger management classes.
Yeah.
Like,
and apparently God needs money. You
right.
know, he needs a lot of
yeah,
money.
He needs a lot of money. Right. That's funny. And that's the difference between spirituality and religion, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Spirituality is more, I think, a personal thing. Where religion is an institution, you know, it's just something
mm-hmm.
that people created.
Well, I think they created it years ago because we needed, you know, to be, you know, when there was no, what's the word I'm looking for? There wasn't as much a police force and ways to watch people.
Right.
The only way to really keep the people calm and, mm-hmm. and doing the right thing is to make them think that there was, you know, somebody watching everything that they did.
Right.
So I think that's why that was so important.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they needed to explain why things are happening, you know, the like natural disasters,
right.
Occurrences, whatever, you know, to try to explain fires and all that. And people would make up, I think, ideas
mm-hmm.
or you know or assumptions or whatever, and that's how religion came about. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think people also trying to rein in societies. You know, so there wouldn't be all that crime and all that bullshit. But
mm-hmm.
but some of this stuff just simply doesn't make sense at all.
Right.
You know. But have you seen? You know, I'm on NationalEnquirer.com and they have a picture of the cover. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and what they have on there is Kirstie Alley
mm-hmm.
looking like a fucking mammoth,
mm.
240 pounds.
Wow!
And it says 240-pound Kirstie collapses.
Wow!
You know,
and she was doing so well on Jenny Craig.
She was.
She was really losing weight.
Wow.
But see, I believe that food is an addiction the same way alcohol
it is.
And drugs is,
and it's
and
a
so
lifetime battle.
It is.
It really is.
It is.
You know,
and so I think that you know she's looking for a quick solution, and you know you eat the food for a little while and. That works, but I think unless you really change something,
right.
you know, you go back to eating the regular food. And Jenny Craig, I have a little bit of a... It's interesting, they give you like a little bag of chips, but you're still eating chips, so it's still like,
yeah.
you know, and so then when you don't buy their little bag of chips anymore,
uh-huh.
you're buying a big bag of chips, and you're
yeah.
back to 240 pounds.
That's true.
Chips is not the best snack, maybe.
No.
Maybe salad.
Yeah.
Have a salad, Kirstie.
Yeah, I don't think people think of salads as a snack.
Well, fruit's a good snack.
Fruit's a good snack
mm-hmm.
and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? We've been eating some watermelon.
Mm.
I love watermelon.
I just did that last night. My boyfriend bought a seedless watermelon.
Yeah.
I made it.
And
last
there's
night.
Nothing like a good watermelon,
no.
you know, when it's good and crisp and
mm-hmm.
crunchy and
when it's good it's
and
good.
It's sweet, yes.
When it's bad?
Yeah.
It's
do
bad.
You like to eat things with it, like cheese or anything? Or?
Not with watermelon. With other
no?
fruit, I do. I would
really?
Eat cheese with apple. I would pretty much eat cheese with anything. I love cheese.
Yeah, I love cheese,
cheese
too.
Cheese is my weakness.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, try cheese. Try like feta cheese
uh-huh.
with watermelon.
Oh,
you're
going to
love that.
That sounds good.
Yeah,
I'll try
it's
that
awesome.
Today.
It
I
really
still have half a watermelon left. What to do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many good summer foods.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to eat summer healthy in the summer.
That's true.
In the winter, you
That's
want...
True.
You know, warm mashed potatoes and
yeah.
gravy and meatloaf and all that.
Yeah.
In the summer, I love to barbecue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Barbecue in the school. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's trying to call my cell phone, and I think it's our phone guest that's supposed to be on at 10 o'clock. If you're listening, please call us on our call-in number. I can't put you on the line, on the air when you're calling me on my cell phone. So for all of you who are trying to call, the number is 818-602-4498. So please call us on that number. And on a similar note, I asked Andrea during the break who your favorite comics are, and you mentioned Tom Papa.
Yeah, that's
now, I never heard of him, but since you're a comedian and you know what's funny, I have to assume that you know what you're talking about. So so let's play some of his stuff and see what's going on.
I get a day off home. I almost got stuck in Pittsburgh not too long ago. One of those moments where you're running through the airport like a jackass trying to catch your flight, which is any time you run as an adult, you're a jackass. You don't even really remember how to do it. You just get momentum and your arms and legs kind of follow. Luggage hitting you in the ass, coffee's running down your arm. You're not even worried you're going to run out of breath. You're worried you might die. And whenever I'm in that situation, I always picture everyone else rooting for me like it's an Olympic event. Come on, you can make it! They don't care. You ever been on a bus watching a guy run for it? You're not rooting for him. You don't want to see him make it. You want to see his arm go up, his ankle give out, and drop out of view. Because that's funny. It's fun watching other people suffer. It's evil, but it's funny. You ever been on the highway and your side's just cruising, no problem? The other side is backed up miles and miles in traffic? It's a good feeling, isn't it? And I don't even enjoy the guy stuck in the middle as much as the guy who's 10 miles back who doesn't see it coming. Hey!
I know, I love that. Huh?
Have a good day! What are you going to do, though? You going to take the bus? You going to ride the bus? Can't ride the bus. The bus is brutal. It wouldn't be so bad if it didn't stop and pick up all those other people. But horrible people on the bus. Everyone has a limp or a lazy eye or a tail. It's like the garbage truck for human trash. We always think we're better than the other guy. Always. And we're not. We're no better than anybody else, you know? When I'm on that bus looking across the aisle at a guy in a Santa hat and goggles, and he's looking back at me, we're both thinking the same thing. Jackass. Look at this guy in his goggles. He's looking back. Poor fella. He doesn't have any goggles.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he, you know, I hope he's got funnier things.
Oh, yeah. That's not even his classic stuff. He really? Does some really, really funny things about
really?
It.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find a lot of stuff here. They have him at the Ice House.
Yeah, I'd have to see. Yeah. What do you want?
Well, we'll find some more. Yeah. That's fine. That's fine. So what did I wanted to ask you about something. Now I can't remember. But
what happened to the guy that's supposed to be calling in?
Well, he'll be calling in. He's supposed to call in at 10, so it's
maybe
only
that
10
was his
10.
Dummy that was calling.
Maybe
your cell phone.
Yeah, and he didn't know.
Dummy, call the regular line.
Yeah. So what's happening now? Tiger Woods. Okay, I really don't care much about golf. Do you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think at one point I'd really like to start playing golf because it seems like such a peaceful thing to do. You
Does
know, I
it?
Mean, you're surrounded by green. You know, everything's green and nice.
No, peaceful sounds to me like on a lawn chair.
Yeah.
With a pina colada by the pool.
Yeah, but if you want to be a little active,
walking
you know,
around in the hot, hot sun.
Well,
with
no,
a,
I didn't say in the hot, hot sun.
With a
you know?
Little tiny ball and a stupid little club, and you hit it, and then you got to walk around and try to find it. That sounds relaxing. I don't know.
I think so.
Really? Yeah. We have a stressful life, Sam.
Yeah. I know. Anything sounds
anything
relaxing.
Sounds relaxing right now.
Yeah. So the Saint he'll miss the rest of the season because of
but
surgery.
But isn't it over?
I guess not. He just
won, didn't
he? Won something.
I thought he won.
But yeah, I know he won something. I don't know what it was, but apparently he needs more surgery, so he's not going to be doing that. But it's amazing how
his knee.
Yeah, and how do you get injured playing fucking golf, you know?
Yeah, that's a weird thing for me too. Yeah, I mean, is it stressful on your knees? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
think
so.
I would think your arm maybe. You throw your arm out. Yeah, he's so good though.
Yeah,
so much better than everybody else.
He is,
else.
You know. And is that because his father like taught him when he was really young and stuff?
I think he probably had to have some talent, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. But when you start practicing and training from when you're really young,
yeah.
I would imagine, you know, when you're in your 20s, 30s, you're going to be really good.
Yeah, if you put the time in, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get bored too easy.
Do you?
Yeah. I have a hard time sticking with anything.
Yeah. I know, I get bored quickly too. You
do
know,
you?
If I have to sit and wait 5 minutes for something, I go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, talking about waiting, you know how you always go to the doctor and you have to fucking wait and
right.
shit? Doesn't that, like, irritate you? It's like, why is their time more valuable than your time?
Totally. I mean, you know Jerry Seinfeld's bit about that. He's, you know, what are they doing?
Yeah.
They're in that little room, you know what I mean? With the books, they're in that little room like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Well, I've never seen that disease. What is that? Yeah, it's a pompous thing. But I don't know. I mean, I think they just... They're the doctor, you know? What are you going to do? They went to medical
overbook.
School.
Yeah, they overbook and shit.
Well, people don't show up, though, too. I used to work at a doctor's office, and you'd be surprised how many people just make an appointment and don't come.
Really?
Don't come, don't call.
Do you charge them for it?
Well, yeah. Yeah, he did. This doctor charged
them. You see, I mean, that's what pisses me off. I was supposed to go to the doctor, and then I couldn't make it. So I called him, like, early in the morning, you know, for an afternoon. And I said, look, I can't make it. You know, let's reschedule and stuff. She's like, we're going to have to charge you $100.
What?
I said, excuse me? I said, forget about it. You know, she's like, well, you know, can I have your credit card? I said, no.
Credit card? Are you crazy?
Can I get my fucking credit card? I said, and so the other day I called again and she's like, you still owe this. I said,
that's crazy.
You know, I said, I'm not paying it. You might as well take it. Yeah.
Write a letter. Because you know what I found too is like office managers, secretary, they're all managing nothing.
Yeah.
They think they're important. Yeah. You write a letter to the doctor, the doctor will waive it.
Yeah.
Every time.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't care. I mean, I waived it, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, she says, like, it's been our policy since I remember. I said, well, it's my policy not to pay for a service I don't receive.
Yeah, and you called early in the morning. Usually places that I work for, if you call early in the morning, it's only when you don't call and you don't show and we have that time where, we lost a patient. Not lost him, but, we weren't able to book somebody.
What's reasonable is 24 hours maybe. She's like 48 hours. I'm like,
48
fuck
hours.
Fuck you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, what the fuck is this,
48 hours. That's how the hell do you know what you're going to be doing?
No.
For? Not only that, but if the doctor had to cancel for some reason, would he pay you?
Yeah, there you go.
Would
there
he give you $100 for your time?
Why the fuck is his time more important? Just because he makes more money?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and he doesn't know how much money you make.
Exactly.
Yeah, tell him.
And that's why I can't. Lawyers come number one, people that I can't stand, and doctors too. And actually, dentists come before doctors because they're the biggest fucking ripoffs ever.
I got a good dentist story.
Do you?
Yeah, I was going to this dentist and I had to get my teeth done and he told me that I needed a root canal and charged my insurance for it and everything. And then he was sort of back and forth with it because I don't want a root canal. No one wants a root canal. It's an awful experience. I said, you sure I need a root canal? Because I already had a root canal on this tooth. And he goes, yeah, you need another one. Anyway, long story boring. I went and got a second opinion, and the dentist said, the guy I regularly go to, he says, you don't need a root canal.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he was just going to give me a root canal just for the shits and giggles
of it. Fuck him. Let's get back to this in a minute, but we have a phone call. Maybe it's our guest. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Of course, Mr. Sam. Shalom. And shalom to Andrea.
Hello.
I hope I pronounce her. Name correctly.
Andrea.
You did.
There you go. Mo, how are you?
Excellent. I mean, yesterday I know you were busy, you were unable to take calls, but this psychic, Dave, actually I am a psychic and I am also a remote viewer and I will call his shows later on. We will discuss a lot of things in that area with him. And he is very good talk host shows. And he's really what he says, people need to believe on it. Because you see, the especially you have a dog at your house. And so whenever you see your dog is lost or went away, and you must know that there will be some earthquake activity in Southern California. And because they have a sixth sense, And so, anyway...
But you don't have to be smart to know there'll be an earthquake in California, you know. Mo, listen, I don't mean to cut you short, but we have our call-in guests calling in. So let's. Why don't you call back in a little bit, and we'll continue talking about this? Is that cool?
Oh, sure, indeed. Okay, Mo. And I would like to convey my, you know, congratulations to Andrea that came with you. It's a great. You guys are a great pair, and you know, and the show is very great.
Thank you, Mo. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And we are looking forward to hear more.
Great radio. Okay.
From you both.
Okay, Mo. Listen.
Shalom. Thanks, Mo. Shalom.
But call back, please. Thanks. Okay. Bye. Okay. They just hung up. Okay, he's going to call back. Please call back.
Yes, call back. Yeah.
It always happens, you know.
It was right at the shalom. We lost him. I knew it was one shalom too many.
Yeah.
What does shalom mean? Goodbye?
It means hello, it means goodbye, and it means peace.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So all three.
Yeah, all three. So
see, all of the above.
Yeah, there you go.
Hello, goodbye, peace.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Have you ever known any Israelis at all? No, huh?
No.
You're pretty isolated.
Pretty isolated. I just stay in my house. No, I mean, I know them, but I don't...
yeah, you know. Haven't known anybody closely.
Not close, yeah. No. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think.
They're an interesting bunch, you know? I mean, yeah. It's like you really... you see, I mean, don't take me as an example, because I've been here for 32
right,
years.
Right,
but many people that come from there are, you know, they bring their own... The culture and everything. Mm-hmm. And the culture there is like to be very loud, not very polite. Mm. You know, people there are in your face.
Sounds like my family.
Really?
Really. It sounds like Italians. You watch The Sopranos.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Mediterranean. Yeah.
Italians
like
are very
that.
Loud. They're very in your face. My father never says goodbye. He just hangs up the phone.
Really?
Never says shalom. I'm going to tell him now. I want a shalom.
Yeah, shalom.
No, he'll just be like, look this up for me. Let me know how you make out.
Yeah.
You're like, hello?
Yeah.
That's it. He's done. Yeah, he's very very gruff.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you remember my big fat Greek wedding, the same thing.
I do. Same way.
So, yeah. So most people around the Mediterranean are like that.
Yeah. You know? Same kind of culture.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's like, you know, sometimes when we get together with the family and we start talking, people think we're arguing, you know. Like my kids, they don't speak Hebrew. So they think we're fighting, you know,
right.
But we're not. You know,
we're just being loud.
Yeah, we just talk loud.
Yeah.
And stuff. And, but, you know, I mean, there's, you know, many of them come here and they become a little more polite and they take on the culture of the place here.
Uh-huh.
You know, but some of them don't, you know.
Yeah. And, now, are they very traditional as far as marriage and you stay married and you...
Yeah. Well, not necessarily you stay married. I mean, there's a lot of divorce there going on too.
Yeah.
But no, it's really a lot like America there, you know. I mean, as far as the material things, the technology, you know, all these things, the fashions, you know, everything. It's like you go there and everything's in English now, you know, and you can find, you know, all the American products and that sort of thing. So, yeah, you can find it there. But at the same time, you know, you don't change the culture. You don't change the temperament of the people, you know. That's never going to change. So it's kind of weird, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what else? I wanted to take another break, but you know, I'm waiting for the guy.
We lost our calling.
Yeah,
guest, huh?
Please call back. Yeah, he's calling from Las Vegas, by the
way. Oh, he is. Yeah. Does he live in Las Vegas?
I don't know, but it's a 702 number, so I would imagine if he's a performer, he probably performs there.
That's probably more work there for ventriloquism.
Oh yeah,
I would think.
Yeah.
I like Vegas. I don't like it as much now as I used to.
Yeah, we talked about that the other day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. And but you know what? I was just thinking yesterday, maybe I should go. I wouldn't mind maybe going for a day or two. You know?
A day?
Yeah. That's about as long as I can handle.
Really?
Yeah.
Sam and Andrea show from the pool at the Rio.
There you go. There you go.
Take it on the road.
But we need to be a little bigger than we are now.
Well, we'll get big at the Rio.
Yeah.
You in a Speedo, me in a bikini.
That's
true. We'll get a lot of listeners.
Be in a Speedo, forget about it. After the age of 22, I stopped it.
People will go, what the? What is going on over there?
Yeah, now you in a bikini, I'm sure you draw a lot of attention.
You know? I don't know. It's bad at the Rio. There's a lot of hot bodies at the
Rio.
Yeah.
Is that the place
Rio.
Where the pool is like a beach?
They have sand
and stuff there?
Yeah, they have that at the Hard Rock, I think, too.
Do they?
Yeah, I don't like the Hard Rock so much because it's almost like L.A., but in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like everybody from L.A. goes there.
That's true.
It's like when I go to a new place, I want to see new people.
Right.
I want to see the same people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you like the Rio?
They have
like suites there, right? So it's,
yeah, everyone's so it's a suite. The Venetian is probably my favorite. Have you stayed at the Venetian?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Well, no, I haven't stayed there.
The rooms are great.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Is it pretty expensive? It's got to be, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never paid.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll ask my ex-husband.
The joys of being a woman.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
before Dutch was in fashion.
Dutch? No, I don't know what that means.
Going Dutch? You don't know what that
means? No, I know what it means. I try not to know what it means.
You ignore it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I offer. I always offer, you know.
Yeah.
Well, not so much now, but my boyfriend doesn't. Yeah, there's no way.
Yeah.
Even if he's got $10, he'll spend his last $10. He won't let me pay.
Really?
He's very much a gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old fashioned gentleman.
Yeah. Old fashioned doesn't let me pay.
That's cool.
Yeah. But, you know, but we're also, you know, in that place where if he doesn't have it and I have it, you know, and I want to do something, he'll never say, let's do something if he doesn't have the money to do it. But I'll say, I want to, you know, because we went to go see Don't Mess with Zohan, and I treat it.
Oh, nice of you.
I'm treating to the movies. Yeah.
They're very nice of you.
Yeah. That was funny. I can't believe you didn't see that movie.
Not yet, but I'm planning to. Yeah.
You would probably appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. It's based on like a true character, I guess, the hairdresser.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The hairdresser is somebody that actually exists, and they based it on his life.
How
you know,
funny.
Maybe not the whole story, but the hairdresser part of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Was it funny? Was it pretty funny?
Yeah, I mean, it had funny parts.
I mean, I'm not into Adam Sandler at all. You know? But I like the...
I like some of his movies.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's made some good movies.
Have you heard any of his songs before?
Yes. Very funny.
Yeah?
The Hanukkah song?
Yeah, that one. What about the piece of shit car?
No, I've never heard that.
I got to play it for
play
you.
Play it, piece of shit car.
Yeah, because I used to play it all the time on the previous show.
Yeah, and his CD is funny. There's a couple of songs on there that are really funny.
Yeah. But but in general, I just don't find him like a funny actor, you know. So I haven't. I think maybe I only saw one movie of his. You know,
what'd you say?
Big Daddy or something.
Oh yeah, Remember Big Daddy.
That?
Yeah.
That was okay with a kid and stuff. But I'm not crazy.
See
about
the Wedding Singer.
No.
Okay, you got to see the Wedding Singer.
Really?
Yeah, especially
was he funny in that?
Yeah, it's more our generation. You would definitely very funny.
I'll try to catch that. Yeah.
Get the Wedding Singer.
But this song is, I mean. I'm going to play it for you because we were talking about Adam Sandler, but usually I like to play it and ask people who they think it is, and nobody can
nobody
figure
knows,
it out.
Because nobody knows, right.
Nobody can figure it out.
Okay.
So here we are, Adam Sandler.
Piece of shit car.
Piece of shit car. And you're going to love this one.
Here we go. Car's a big piece of shit, cause these shocks are fucking shot. And my seatbelt's fucking broken, I got to tie it in a knot.
It's a piece of shit.
I can't see
That's
through
funny.
The windshield, cause it's got a big fucking crack. And the interior smells real bad, cause my friend puked in the back.
It's a piece of shit. Piece of shit car.
Piece of shit car.
You got a piece of shit car.
It sucks royal dick.
That fucking pile of shit.
Oh,
I love the backup singer.
Yeah, that's funny. Wait till you hear.
It's got no CD player. It only got the 8-track. Whoever designed my car can lick my sweaty nutsack.
Take it by his ass too.
And I got no fucking brakes. I'm always way out of control. 11 times a day I hear, hey, watch it, asshole.
You fucking piece of shit. Piece of shit car.
Piece of shit.
You got a piece of shit car.
Diesel gas sucks.
I do? What the fuck did I do? What the fuck did I do? Who gets stuck with you? You're too hard for dry food, and you smell like tissue. But I broke you by something new. Oh, fuck me. Cushion's got a big rip, so a spring always pokes the balls.
Ouch, ouch, ouch.
Plus the door locks are busted, I got to use a fucking coat hanger.
What a pain in his ass.
And the fucker, he sees my car, there's no chance I'll ever bang her.
He never ever gets a pussy.
Hey, shut up.
He's a shit car.
He's a shit
car. He got a piece of shit car.
He's a shit car.
He's a shit car.
Both
he got a piece
tire.
Of shit car.
No real view fucking mirror.
He's a shit car.
Seven on the three.
He got a piece of shit car.
Fucking lag for a
he's
guest
a
car.
Shit car.
Tailpack make
he got a piece of shit car.
Everywhere.
Piece of shit car.
Adam Sandler and Piece of Shit Car.
Funny.
Funny, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you're right. The backup singers
backup
are really
singers
funny.
Are killing me.
You're never going to get the pussy.
That's funny. That was funny.
Yeah.
He's got a bunch of them.
Yeah?
Bunch of parody songs that are funny. I love the Hanukkah song.
Yeah, Hanukkah's funny.
It's one of my favorites.
Did you ever see that movie he made, that cartoon? For Hanukkah and stuff.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it was like in the movie theaters. I can't remember something, maybe with candles or something. I don't know. And it was an animated film, but uh-huh. with his voice. And it was the funniest thing. It really was funny, yeah. So, yeah, he's done a lot of different things, I guess.
Yeah,
you know, you gotta hand it, that to him. And... Oh, I just wanted to go over. Some of you may have seen the banner we put on the front page.
Yeah, Wi-Fi.
About the Wi-Fi mm-hmm. radio, and everybody I talk to is just amazed. It's like I gotta have one.
Yeah.
So I spoke with them yesterday, and they agreed to partner with us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna get some free radios to give away,
mm-hmm.
and we're gonna start hopefully next week. As soon as we get them in, we'll start devising games,
mm-hmm.
and people are gonna have to win this. You know, mm-hmm. we can't just give them away to everybody. You gotta work a little bit
right.
for it. So we'll feature them on this show on the Damage Report. And on TJ, the world of TJ McCormick. So
mm-hmm.
be listening to these shows. Check our website and get ready, because a $250 fucking prize, man. That's
great.
That's, yeah.
That's huge. I'm going to
They don't
call
come
in.
Around every day.
I'm going to call in.
Yeah.
From
have
my
your
cell
friends
phone.
Call in?
I know the answer.
So hopefully, if this succeeds, we're going to get a lot more from them, and we'll do it on a regular basis.
Do they make other stuff, or they're just doing this radio?
No, they have some other Bluetooth items
like
headphones and things like that. But
I love the Bluetooth. I just got it installed in my car. It's
did
great.
You?
Yeah, you don't have to, because you know, after July 1st.
Yeah, you can't do it anymore.
Can't talk on your phone, which doesn't matter because you can still text.
Yeah. But if they see you with it, though.
I'm joking.
I mean, texting while driving is probably the most dangerous thing you could do.
I think so.
You know?
Reading is probably even more dangerous,
yeah,
but
yeah.
texting is up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to look for the fucking letters to type, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, my God.
Yeah.
How can you possibly?
Well, you have
you know?
An iPhone, right?
I have an iPhone.
It's harder to text.
And I have the Bluetooth in my car built in already.
Right,
you know?
That's
so,
what I have.
Yeah, so I already had, you know, so I've been already using this for,
mm-hmm.
for a long time.
Mm.
But I totally love this law, you know, because I'm telling you, every time I see an asshole on the road, they have a phone in their hand.
Yeah.
They're just not fucking paying attention.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they think, though, that if you start talking without a phone, it's going to be any different.
It's not.
You know,
not.
Without holding the phone.
Yeah.
But I think it would be, because you know what? It's when you talk on the hands-free. Mm-hmm. It's like you have somebody in the car, like a passenger that you're talking to.
Yeah, I don't love that so much, though, because what if you have a passenger? In the, like, I have to warn my friends we have a code, because you don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, if a call comes in and you don't want them to hear it, is that what
well,
you're saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, you might be sitting with somebody, and then the call comes in, and they're like, oh, you're with your jerk-off friend, Patty. You know, it's like, how awkward. Patty's in the car.
Yeah.
He's kidding. He's kidding. He knew you were getting in the car. He's just... What a joker. You know what I mean? Or just like, you know, how did that infection clear up? I'm on a date right now. Don't want to talk about that. Wrong number.
Yeah. Can you imagine how embarrassing that would be?
It's true, though. You know, I think
how's
about that.
How's that yeast infection going?
You know, it's a crank call. He said he was your dad. That's what he says. My dad's dead. Crazy. Hang up. Yeah, but it's true. I don't like it so much. You know, I have to look at the call and see who it is. Because I have crazy friends, and they say silly things. You know, they're just like, you know. I don't want
so
to
you
got to
be careful.
Huh? Yeah, I don't take every call. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that you can control whether you take the call or not.
Thank God. Yeah. But you have to be careful, you know.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah. Well, just tell them I'm in the car with so-and-so as soon as
but
you start
But then it looks
talking.
Like you're trying to... cover something up, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm in the car with Bob. Don't say anything about Bob. He's sitting here. He's listening to you.
So do you have any groups, favorite groups that you like to victimize with your humor, with your jokes?
Men. No. Is that a group? Do I victimize any groups?
I mean, not necessarily ethnic or anything, but, you know, I mean, what, gays, you know.
I love the gays. But I don't really.
But I would imagine you still can make a joke about someone
you
love.
No,
right?
I make jokes about everybody, pretty much. Women, men. As much as I attack men, I go back and I attack women too, because we do some things that are fucked up.
Yeah.
But I don't have like one set, you know. It's more things.
Yeah.
Things in life that are weird to me, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, every joke has a victim or a target, right? I mean, it has to.
Yeah, I think so.
It has to.
I think so. But I think it's more things or more men, women in general, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know there are a lot of people that do a lot of racial humor. I don't do a lot of racial humor.
Yeah, I know. That's treading in a minefield, you know?
You got
to
be careful.
You have to be careful. Yeah.
I think the rule is that if you're of that ethnic group, you can attack it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, you know, black people call themselves the N-word all the time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, when
you
I was in that all-black band, they said it all the time to each other.
Yeah.
And then one day I said it, and it was like,
ooh.
I was like, I thought I was one of the... No,
exactly. I'm one
not.
Of you guys.
Yeah, no, you're not. You find out real fast. Yeah, all right, whatever. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take another quick break. I guess our guest is not going to call back. I don't know why he only tried once. But please try again. We love you. And we want to hear from you.
Yeah, call in. I want to hear about this ventriloquist.
Yeah. This sucks.
All right, so we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
In a world where shitty talk radio proliferates the internet, two people have joined up to save the world.
Save the world.
It's Mornings with Sam and Andrea, only on LA Talk Radio.
We'll be right back.
I know your life is changing, but I'm not the one who's keeping you around, not keeping you down. In time, maybe I could forgive, but Jenna, that's no consequence for you. Yeah, tell the truth. You had a life, you had a home. Now the game is over, there's no time out, you can't make more.
From Kazakhstan. I listen to internets all over the world, and I love when silly Jews talk about stuff they have no idea, with very hot pieces of ass sitting across from them. And that's why I tune into Sam and Andrea with a show called Mornings. It's very nice. Bye bye.
Okay, we're back, and our guest is going to call momentarily. Do you have any big plans? It's Wednesday already.
I know, it's hump day.
Yeah. Do you have plans for the weekend yet?
No.
No.
What about you?
Not yet, but here comes a caller, so let's take the phone. Good morning. You're on the air. Who's calling?
Good morning, Sam. This is Oscar. I'm Bernie. Happy to be here.
Hey, Oscar. Oscar and Bernie.
Bernie has a gruff voice.
Yes, he does.
Bernie needs to...
He's an old bird, that's why.
Oh, you know, I've seen that bird. Give us a link so people can go and see that bird. But before that, tell us a little bit about you, because people don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Sam, we're Oscar and Bernie at OscarandBernie.com. We're an act that's been seen on the Gong Show back in 89 and 90. We're regulars there. In fact, I think we're probably the most gonged act ever. We've even been gang-gonged by Salt and Pepper.
Wow, so you're going back quite a ways, huh? I mean, the Gong Show, that was the 70s.
And then last year we were on America's Got Talent when Bernie said, America, you got the bird.
That's pretty good. So,
needless to say then, Sam, then we got the three X's.
Yeah. Now, where are you calling from? What part of the country are you in?
We're based in Las Vegas. I'm originally out of Cleveland, Ohio, but I've been in Vegas for darn near 30 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so you started in the 70s there, huh?
Yeah, in fact, the first time I ever got on stage was 1976 at Rancho High here in town. And in the early 80s, Drew Carey was living with a friend of mine, Paul R. Brown, and... Yeah. Paul brought Drew over to my house, and as I, and at that point in time, Drew was a skinny kid with long blonde hair wearing wire-rimmed glasses.
Uh-huh.
And I pointed out my Cleveland memorabilia to him, and I showed him a picture of my dad with our Little League baseball team, and I said, my dad's a traveling salesman, greatest comic I ever knew, a Scorpio and a Marine. If they would have put a dozen of those guys together, they would have won a war in about 2 weeks. And he, yeah, Drew laughed at that. And then the funny thing of it is, the next time I see Drew Carey, he looks just like my dad.
Yeah,
same
so,
glasses, same haircut, everything. It was pretty funny. I think I'm Forrest Gump.
Yeah. So, and how long have you lived? Oh, so you lived in Vegas for 30 years. Wow.
Yeah, that's I moved out here in 73 when I was 19. Then I made a short stint back to Cleveland for about 8 years, from 96 to 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked out really good because I worked a comedy club that was called Hilarities. It's now called the Funny Stop in Akron, Ohio. And a shout out to them. They're great guys out there. If anybody's worked for Pete and Tony, they know what one guys they are. And they're Lebanese. And I got to admit, the Lebanese got the best food I ever tasted.
Well, you haven't tasted Israeli food yet, but it's all about the same, yeah. But let me ask you this now. So you perform, you work in Vegas, right?
Uh-huh.
And where can people find you? Where can we go to see you
perform?
The best
thing to do is to go to my website. I'm always doing different things. Now, Sunday evening, we just did, or early Sunday morning, we just worked in a movie called Race to Witch Mountain with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's starring in that. People can see me if they went and saw the movie What Happens in Vegas. I got a short little spot there as Ashton Kutcher's coming up to the front desk at the Planet Hollywood. You notice me off to the side, which thrilled my mother to death back in Cleveland, seeing her kid up on a large screen.
Yeah,
I do a lot of convention work. We just roasted a fella at the Italian-American Club, and we stay busy doing things like that. Worked in Boron, California, New Year's Eve about a year ago. At a VFW over there. I'll tell you what, Boron, California, starving for comedy. There's not much there, but it was a lot of fun.
Really? I would think there's a lot of comedy here. I mean, Andrea's a comic, and she says there's a lot going on, right?
For stand-up, I think, you know, what he does is a little bit different,
right,
so I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, there's not as much variety,
right,
I think, here.
But you definitely have a unique act. So you have this puppet who is a chicken. And
he's a parrot, actually, and that's why he's a characterization of George Burns, and that's why he does impressions.
Oh.
And it was funny, because when we did America's Got Talent, Jerry Springer said, what are you here for? I said, look, I've been gang-gonged on the Gong Show. The three X's will be the comedy trifecta of my career.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, he goes, don't you want to win $1 million? I said, no, I got ex-wives. It'll cost me $10,000 of my own money to get them to stop fighting over.
That's funny. So you're not a ventriloquist. You actually?
No, I'm the anti-ventriloquist.
Right.
When I get on stage, that's why I went down there to banter with Pierce, because he just gives everybody such a hard time. And when I started off, he says, well, you're moving your lips. I go, so? He says, well, you're moving your lips. I go, what, they don't do that in England? He goes, but you're moving your lips. And then I said, well, I'm the anti-ventriloquist, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't realize Terry Fader was down there. And as Bernie says, Terry Fader's a fraud. He was lip-syncing. No, he wasn't, Bernie. He wasn't lip-syncing. Sure he was. Didn't you see his Milli Vanilli puppet?
Yeah. He does sound like George Burns, huh?
Yeah,
that's pretty good. And
I had the pleasure of meeting George when he was 95 years old here at Caesar's Palace in his dressing room before his show. And what a live wire. The fellow was wearing an orange robe, which was kind of loud to begin with. And he was drinking a martini and smoking a cigar. So I said to him, well, George, I do your voice with the puppet. And he goes, well, let's hear it. And I said, well, I'm very happy to be here tonight. I'm so old, I'm happy to be anywhere. And he laughed and he goes, you know what, kid? He goes, I flopped in show business for 20 years before I made it. And I said, well, George, that makes me feel good. And he looked at me shocked. He goes, why is that? And I said, well, I flopped for 10. I'm halfway there. So he laughed and he said, good kid, don't ever give up. But he was really such a sweetheart.
That's a big honor to meet him. You know?
No, it was wonderful. It really was. And I had a pleasure years ago. Buddy Hackett invited me to his show, and I sat with him backstage. And George Carlin encouraged me early in my career, and because he actually knew a cousin of mine in New York City. So when I talked to George, he said, you know what? He goes, first time I got on stage, they offered me $300 to do an album, and I've been doing it ever since. And he says, don't ever give up. So when you meet big stars like that, and they were just so encouraging and everything. I'm 54 years old now, and I'm just still having a lot of fun, still doing it wherever I can.
Yeah, that's all. That's awesome. How old did you say you are?
I'm 54 now.
Oh, wow,
I mean,
yes.
I came to Vegas when I was 19. I thought it was endless summer, and then I looked in the mirror, and I said, who's that old guy looking back at
me? But Vegas in the 70s sure was good. Andrea and I were reminiscing because she used to live there in the 70s. Mm-hmm. I used to live in Vegas in the 70s, and now we find out that you did as well. Do you remember the old city pretty much?
Oh, there was only 200,000 people when I got here in 73, and you could be sitting in a bar, and if I didn't know the guy next to me, he and I would know a mutual friend. You know,
yeah.
Back then, everybody knew everybody.
Yeah, it was like that. My mother performed in the lounges out there, and then she managed different types of people, comics and bands, and people did impressions and stuff, and she knew everyone everywhere
really?
She
what
went.
What was her name?
Jet Loring.
Oh, my goodness. You're her daughter?
Yeah.
What?
Talk about a small world. Is she still with us?
No, she passed away 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, huh? I'm very sorry to hear that.
So you knew
I
my
did
mom.
I her taxes. I'm the comic accountant. I did your mother's taxes for years.
Oh, wow. What a small world.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm her daughter that moved to L.A.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. Now, who was your dad? Was he the guitar player?
No. My dad was a guy named Al Natoli, and he lives in New Jersey. They were divorced for years, but my mom dated a guy named Tony, so that was probably
That's
who you knew.
Right.
Yeah.
Then she was with an older fellow.
Old guy, Dan, yeah, Dan. She was with him for years, poker player guy, yeah.
Wow, what a small
right.
world.
See,
wow.
It is a small world, Vegas, yeah. Yeah. My mother loved Vegas.
She was wonderful. Your mom, she got me over at the Continental Hotel. I had a show over there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She just appreciated talent. She loved people that made her laugh. And she had her own little comedy club that she had started way before I was doing comedy at San Remo. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even
right.
know the San Remo's there anymore, right? They knocked it down?
Yeah.
They
now
knock
Hooters.
Everything down. Yeah, now it's Hooters.
Yeah, San Remo's now Hooters. And years ago when it was a Treasury Hotel, I used to park the big six wheel in there.
Right.
And people come in. Oh, it's a blast. You know, bet a buck, you know, try your luck. Tonight, every spin's a win, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. So all those people, because there was a lot of performers. There's Cookie Jar and the Crumbs. Is he still performing?
He's still around.
Wow. Really? Yeah.
You'll see him over at the Harris, the old... The Showboat, it used to be on the Strip. It used to be the Holiday Casino.
Right. Yeah. I remember the Showboat.
I remember the Showboat with
I
the bowling
it.
Alley
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. There's a lot of great casinos that, you know, it just had more, I don't know, had more class
it
then.
It did. More character,
yeah,
you know?
More character. I love the Dunes was, I had a 50s band and we played the Dunes.
Really?
I love the Dunes.
That's where I met my second wife. She was a Marilyn Monroe impersonator and Sandy Hackett booked us in at a room and she was in the audience. And
wow.
I would ask a pretty girl, are you married? Married, and they'd usually say no, and I say, "Well, you got a boyfriend?" And they'd usually say yes, and then I would say, "Hey, I thought you were old enough to have a man friend." You
know? That's funny.
So I said to her, "Are you married?" She goes, "No, I'm divorced." And she had a guy sitting next to her. I go, "Well, you got a boyfriend?" She goes, "No, I'm divorced twice." I go, "What are you, Capricorn?" And she started laughing and goes, "Yeah, I am. How'd you know?" I go, "Well, that was my Amazing Kreskin impression." Well, I read once that Capricorn women had the highest divorce rate, so I just threw it out there. Well, then after that, she had to come talk to me, and that led to my third daughter.
Wow.
That's a great story. Yeah, I know Sandy Hackett, too. He, him and me and Frank Marino, I think that was the guy's name. He used to do Sinatra, Frank Marino did. And
yeah, well, Frank was, isn't he, what was that, Boylesque or something? He would do Joan Rivers and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking of somebody else. Maybe his name wasn't Frank, but I do know him too, Marino. He did.
Frank Link, maybe. Your mom booked Frank Link. She was working with him at the old Maxim Hotel.
Yeah. My mom
actually...
How
do you remember all that?
My mom actually started... When we moved to Vegas, my mom had a band, and the Maxim Hotel didn't even have a lounge. They had like this little... And my mom said, you know, I'll... And they said, look, if you want to try it, try it. And she did. She had a great band, and they packed that place.
Yeah, with that cubbyhole area over there. In fact, she set me up where I had a video production company here in town, and I taped the Tokens.
Wow.
When they were playing.
Yeah. Small world.
Yeah. So
your mom was great. She got us a lot of work and
she was a hustler. Yeah, she was a hustler, man. She got out there, and she really believed. But my mom had been performing since she was 15, 16 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
wow.
they opened for
she
a lot of people.
She could bail them out. She could bail them out.
Yeah, yeah. She knew how to draw a crowd, man. She was some performer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Oscar.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, this. I can't believe that you.
Vegas was a small town. Vegas was a very small town, yeah.
It was.
And then, in fact, the fella that I roasted over at the Italian-American Club, I don't know if you remember Johnny J.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, he would play two saxophones at once.
Right, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he started out at the Bingo Palace. They should have paid him in stock, because I'll tell you what, it was a little Bingo Palace, and now they're the station's casinos, and they're
it's
all over
crazy.
The place.
The Bingo Palace used to be, just a little tiny place. And,
it did. It
yeah.
did. And now they took that Sam's Town and all these other ones, right? And they're under one company or something.
Well, Sam's is under Boyd's, but Station's is the Red Rock, the Boulder Station, Sunset Station, Green
that's
Valley
right.
Ranch.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, they really built. So do you still like it out there?
Oh, yeah, I do. I love it. It's been good to me, this town. Besides, the only thing I gambled in that was wrong was probably with wives. But other than that, it's been a good town. It's allowed me to get ahead a little bit. I bought some land in California about 80 miles from here and put a little cabin up in the mountains, so I like to retreat up there.
Oh, nice.
Very
nice.
Get out of the heat.
Yeah, that's what I want to do, I think. I want to sing again and retire in Vegas.
Yeah?
Like 10-20 years.
Well, we don't have any state income tax here, which is nice. And if you shop around, you can still get a deal. You know, I mean, you get a $6 steak dinner at Ellis Island, and they got their own microbrewery in there. They used to have nice draft beers for like $1. So.
Yeah, Palace Station used to have the 49-cent breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what
I remember.
You used to go for
and steak and eggs for $3, $4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and property, you can still kind of, you know, maybe buy a house. Here, you really can't buy a house.
No.
Not unless you have $1 million.
Yeah, but, you know, there was
time. Or in LA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't buy a house here. I pay $1,200 for a studio apartment.
Oh, wow. See, now I pay $700 a month for a two bedroom, two bath apartment here.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the one thing about Vegas. Rental is cheap there.
So much different.
And you get a lot nicer apartments, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, down there, you just got so many people, you know? I mean, it's just the supply and demand, you know? But up here in Vegas, we got a lot of land, you know? There's a lot of desert out here, and they just keep filling it in. It amazes me what I see getting built around here. Mm-hmm. It's completely nuts.
Yeah, it's amazing. So
I don't know if you had a chance to look at my crazy photos on my website.
I
got a bunch of pictures of Pete Barbeauty and different fellas I've worked with over the years, Larry Scarano. I met Sam Kinison years ago, and I said, Sam, we got mutual friends. He goes, who's that? I go, Larry Scarano. He goes, how do you know Larry? He goes, we were doing Mexican restaurants for $30 a night down here in L.A. I said, well, that's why I moved to L.A. We were only getting $20 a night here in Vegas, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So he laughed, and he goes, well, who else you know? I go, a guy by the name of Mike Jezelka. He goes, how do you know Mickey? He was one of the original outlaws of comedy. I said, well, he graduated from my high school a year after I did. And he's done real well with his comedy, too. But when I moved back to Vegas in 2004, I came out with a fellow by the name of Brian Hoffman, who does the greatest impersonation of Grandpa Munster I ever saw. And he met Al Lewis, and Al looked at him and says, my God, you look more like me than me, you know.
Really?
And another comic by the name of Smiley Joe Wiley, who's been seen on BET, he's from Cleveland, too. So a bunch of us came out here about the same time. We did some work for Jon Stewart here in town, who used to do the Legends of Concert show. He had a show down on Fremont Street at the Lady Luck before the Lady Luck closed.
Yes.
And we performed over there with him and done a bunch of different parties and stuff, whatever you can get here in town. It's mostly the headliners in here. I'd love to work with somebody like Carrot Top, because my act is so off the wall. And somebody like him, I think I'd go real good for. But I don't even know if he's got an opening act over there or not.
Yo. Okay, so what are some of the places? I mean, do you perform in hotels or clubs or... Where mostly
well, I've worked in clubs. I've hooked up with iJoke, with the Improv here in town. I'm collaborating with some people. They were over last night. We're working on a 30-minute TV pilot. We put together one already in the can. We're working on the second one. It's back in Ohio. See, there's so many places to go. There's so many VFWs, elk lodges, moose lodges, stuff like that, that Brian kept us busy all the time. Then we moved out here. Well, Vegas is just one little city here. And we worked a couple of Elks Lodges around town, but it's not the, you know, there's just not the millions of people here like there is in Ohio.
Yeah.
So you got to try to get in one place or another. There's the L.A. Comedy Club. I've dropped off stuff over there to those fellas, but they're booking mostly out of L.A. There's a fellow by the name of Bigfoot, James Scott. He's also from Cleveland, and he's trying to get a Midwest comedy thing going here because it's either New York or L.A. is what they're booking here. And
oh,
it's like, yeah, not what you know, but it's who you know in this business.
Yeah,
you know?
That's entertainment.
So I'm just
for
trying
you
to get somebody like Andrea's mom, you know, to get out there and hustle for me.
Yeah, she had that
kind
of energy.
I had a show that ran. She got me at the Continental Hotel. It's now Terrible Herbs there on Flamingo and Paradise. We ran over 13 weeks over there, and it was a great show.
Yeah.
So, you know, got to just keep pounding the pavement, and hopefully something comes up.
Yeah.
Do you do any of the films that, well, you said you did the one film. Now, that was booked out of Los Angeles or Vegas? The new film you did.
We've got some casting people here in town. I've done Ocean's 13, What Happens in Vegas, and just recently this Reach to Witch Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of all the people, the technical people, are coming out of L.A., but they look for, you know, different extras or stand-ins or whatever. I worked as Dennis Francis stand-in back in the early 90s when they were shooting NBC's Nasty Boys here in town. And that was a lot of good work. So it's just,
so is it still Marilyn Lear? Still Marilyn Lear? She's still doing that? Lear casting?
Who?
No, Marilyn Lear or Jackie Bascow, the same people?
Oh, Jackie. I keep in touch with Jackie. Most of my stuff comes from Goldman and Associates.
Uh-huh.
Julie got me a TV commercial with a South Korean company.
Oh, nice.
And she just booked me into this Race to Witch Mountain. There's probably... See, the thing is with casting companies, they charge an upfront fee to join.
Wow, see, they can't do that here in L.A.
Well,
oh, really?
Well, really?
Yeah.
See, now, talent agents, they always collect their commission on the end after the shoot. And that's mostly who I've worked with. But there was one here in town, Wild Street Casting. They only charge $35. So, you know what I mean? That's not a big fee. There's another one here in town that charges $195, and I bypass them. There's some other people, they'll try to get you over to audition for stuff, and then they turn right around and hit you up with a $300 a month to take acting lessons.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you got to watch those scams like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you really do. Now, just specifically about your show, how long is your routine usually?
I can headline. I do 45 minutes. I'll get out and do 25 minutes on my own, and then I'll break out the puppet for like the last 20 minutes of the show. Normally, I get booked as a middle act doing 30 minutes, and back in Ohio, I'd work as an opening act, and usually the headliners I work with, they would ask for me to come back in because I would cater to them a bit, you know.
Nice.
The disgruntled clown is out of South Carolina. He's like Sam Kennison in a clown suit. The guy is nuts. If somebody heckles him, he comes swinging around with a leaf blower and covers him with toilet paper in about 30 seconds.
That sounds funny.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Russ Nagel I've worked with. Worked with him here in town, too. He's out of Louisiana. James Lee Reeves, Professor Milo, he's out of Reno. Worked with him when he's able to get me booked. I find that usually the guys I have worked with, we develop a good rapport. And they keep me in mind, and they work me when they can.
Yeah, well, that sounds awesome, man. So so you do part of the act on your own, by yourself, and then the puppet comes out.
Right, and... right. I like to get up and talk about my ex-wives. It's therapeutic for me. And I go into different bits about my past and stuff. My dad had me on the road when I was 16 selling paint in the Midwest. I logged over 200,000 miles by the time I graduated from high school, which is pretty crazy for a young kid to be doing that. But I have some stories about that and political things I talk about. But when I talk politics, I don't think I really let people know where my thoughts are because I pick on everybody, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this sounds awesome. Oscar, our time is running out, but I wanted to make sure to plug your website again. Give us the address, the domain.
It's Oscar and Bernie, OscarandBernie.com. OscarandBernie.com. We had over 110,000 hits last year, Sam.
Wow.
And I got a lot of crazy stuff on there. I got some recipes on there. If anybody's got any recipes that they like, email them to me. I'll put them up on the website. And I got a little financial information on there because I was a realtor and still a comic I mean, a comic accountant. People say, what do you mean a comic accountant? I go, well, I majored in fuzzy math.
Now,
other kids took creative writing, and I took creative bookkeeping and moved to Vegas.
Was Bernie an existing doll, or did you have it manufactured especially for you? The puppet.
Oh, what's that?
The puppet.
I'm sorry, Sam. I didn't quite hear you.
That's okay. I said the puppet. Was that something that you found on a shelf, or was it made especially for you?
Oh, I built him. The body. Actually, I was repairing a septic tank line, and I noticed the pipe was wide enough to get my arm up in it. And I said, aha, because I worked as an impressionist for years. We did an act called the Ain't Brothers, because we ain't related. And after we split up, I traded in one dummy for another. And what it was is that I would say to other impressionists, I've never seen an impressionist work with a puppet. You ought to try it. Well, everybody looked at me like I was nuts. So then after my partner and I split up, I built the puppet. And a guy by the name of Jimmy Still, who was fantastic, Jimmy Still and Max, he gave me the first bird head for the puppet because he was working with Max. And then it evolved from there where the bird does singing impressions, but it's always kind of comical stuff like Weird Al Yankovic and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Okay, so everybody go to OscarandBernie.com, and you can find out everything about Oscar and where he performs and when. And, we are grateful for you calling in. It's been a pleasure. You sound like a very fun person, and I'm definitely going to look you up next time I'm in Vegas to come and see your act.
Yeah, we'll have to see.
And Andrew, too, for sure. I mean, I do weird things. They had me between two Zoltar machines in front of the Casino Royale yelling at the tourists as they went walking by, but I could only do that for about 2 months before I hit the wall on that one. It was a lot of fun. You know, I'm always doing crazy things like that.
Yeah.
They had me selling sausages at Costco, and I'd get out there with the bird puppet, and as the kids were coming around in the carts with their mom, the bird would be saying things like, hey, kid, you're lucky your mom's pushing you around in a store. When I go shopping, the wife pushes me around.
Cute.
Oscar, thank you very much for coming on. All the best to you, and good luck in whatever you do. And what a small world again.
Yeah.
You knew Andrea's mother. And
thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And Sam, since you're from Israel, I should say Mazel Tov, I believe.
Thank you very much. Thank
shalom.
You. Okay, yeah, or shalom, yeah.
The theme for today was shalom.
And Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Elohe Olam, O Israel.
Wow.
From a little town called Ashkelon.
Oh, yeah? You've been there?
Yeah, no, I never been there, but he's taught me some Hebrew.
Oh, I see. Wonderful. Well, your Hebrew is excellent. he just gave us a prayer here.
Nice.
But Oscar, all the best to you, and call again sometime. We love to have
you. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Okay, so that's Oscar and Bernie.
Nice.
Yeah, and Bernie's a good name for
a bird.
For a parrot, yeah. Whatever, but
I thought it was a chicken too.
I know.
I'm glad you clarified. Cuz
it's so big,
that.
You know. It's
yeah.
it's big like that.
A big parrot.
Yeah, it's a big
scary parrot.
But I would be I usually liked when people have puppets and stuff, you know, because it's like you wonder, you know, do they have like a really two personalities and they sort of like project what they feel on the puppet, you know, and then they can say the things they want to say.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I didn't say it. He said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Andrea, another show is almost over.
Yeah. It was
and,
fun.
And did you have fun?
I did. I had a good time.
Yeah. You're getting comfortable here now?
Yeah.
And stuff?
That was great. That was a good memory for me that he knew. My mom was, you know, very much a supporter of the arts.
Really?
So, yeah, it was good.
So what did she do? Was she like an agent, a booking agent?
She started as talent. She started as a singer and had her own band. And then when she got tired of doing that, you know, she did it for years. She got tired and it was over. And then she just started managing people, managed bands and all kinds of acts, not just bands.
Yeah,
but,
obviously
his act and everybody. And she just, she loved it. Yeah,
right.
She loved it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then we got to reminisce about Vegas again. We did that together.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Yeah.
Old Vegas.
How does Vegas come up?
We're going to have that Viva Las Vegas song playing at some point on one of our breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were the times, I mean, when Elvis was still performing at the Hilton and before he died.
Yeah, I think he died before I got there.
Yeah,
didn't he?
What year did you say you got there?
I got there, let's see, I was born in 66, so I got there in 77, 78, no, maybe 78.
Yeah, so he died like in 77, I think.
Yeah, so I never got to see him.
Yeah, But that was the period, though. Yeah. You know, when you had them and Frank Sinatra.
It had that kind of class about it, though. Yeah. It had that sort of,
It really did.
It was cool.
Yeah. Well, what can you do? So reminiscing about Vegas. Anyway, thank you all for joining us for another great show on Wednesday. And we'll be back tomorrow as usual if I manage to get up in the morning. And I don't know why my program is cranking on me now. And I can't even play you anything. So, okay, the program just closed and crashed on me. So we can't say goodbye until we have a nice a nice bumper here. So thanks again. All the best to you. And I guess I'm not going to play this because it's still crashing here. But let me just find something real quick here. And we're going to talk to you tomorrow. Where the hell is this? There you go.
You're listening to Mornings with Sam and Andrea.
Sam and Andrea.
Exclusively on LA Talk Radio.